Father, we do thank you so much for times to be reminded of what really is important. And I thank you for every prayer that was lifted up on behalf of someone else, or prayers of thanksgiving. But I lift up all those prayers that were unspoken, that were in the hearts and in the minds of people in this room who are carrying burdens or concerns that only you can answer, that only you can handle. Father, give us the faith and the patience to trust you and not be distracted or become bitter or cynical because we don't see things sometimes happening the way we would like for them to happen. Father, you are faithful, and we trust in your faithfulness. May each of us gain today strength and renewal in our spirits and our hearts and our minds and in our walk with you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Oftentimes when asked how you're doing, many folks will respond, "I'm blessed." And that's more than just some little phrase, because over and over the Bible says that we are blessed. It's my prayer this morning that we recognize that fact. Had we been living, Kay, thank God that we were born in America, and I'm thankful for that too. That's one of those things. Who can explain why some are born where they are under the circumstances under which they're born and others are not? Those are mysteries beyond us. That's out of our pay grade, so to speak. But had we been born some 2,000 years ago, and had we been born somewhere around Galilee or Jerusalem in that part of the Middle East, and had we been born when Jesus went into his public ministry, and those of us who are here today would have probably been curious enough and interested enough to have wanted to learn more about this itinerant Jewish carpenter who was gaining popularity, who was healing people. We would have been probably lower than the middle class had we lived in that time. And we would have followed Jesus, and we would have been among that group that's described as the multitude that he saw. And so again, with fresh vision, we read this story that is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I'm going to personalize this just a little bit. Blessed are you meek folks, for you're going to inherit the earth one day. Blessed are those of you who have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You will be filled. Blessed are you merciful folks, for you shall obtain mercy. And those of you who are pure in heart, you'll see God. And for those among you who are peacemakers, well, I call you the sons of my Father. And for those of you who may be persecuted for righteousness' sake, well, you're blessed because the kingdom of heaven is yours. And you're blessed when folks around you revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil, falsely lying about you for my sake. Well, I say to you, you should rejoice and be exceedingly glad, For you have a great reward waiting up in heaven, because they persecuted the prophets who were before you, just like they're persecuting you. Those are the words we would have heard from Jesus had we lived and followed him and sat along that seashore just above Lake Galilee. And today we focus on one that he said, "Blessed are those of you who are pure in heart. You will see God." Well, what do we get from that? Jesus, what are you saying to us? Well, let's see if we can grasp, because we're not given any fuller explanation. Jesus just said that. You're blessed. Now, throughout the scriptures, as time went by, things were added that help us to understand what it means to be pure in heart. Now, to be pure, you can look in the dictionary, and I mean, there are about 15 or 16 definitions that may suit the case. Some of the ones that seem to fit into what Jesus is saying to define pure is free from foreign elements. That would be like we talk about pure gold. Doesn't have any other metal mixed in with it. It's just the pure, real thing. Some of you know, since our trip to Vermont, we're spoiled on pure maple syrup. Doesn't have any of that cornstarch and whatever else is in there. It's different. It doesn't even have a dark color. It's pure. Doesn't have any foreign elements. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." It also means unmixed. And it also is defined as simple. I kind of think of the simplicity of being pure in heart, unmixed. Childlike faith. Jesus just said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Unmixed, simple, not all convoluted with a lot of different things. I thought, and I didn't think of this scripture till I was sitting here this morning, so it's not in there, but you'll be familiar with it. A part of the way of being pure in heart, Paul describes in his letter to the Philippians, where in the 4th chapter, in the 9th verse, he said, "Finally, think about things like this. Meditate on these things, things that are holy, things that are just, things that are of good report, things that are pure. If there's any virtue in them, think about these things." So obviously being pure in heart is also related to our thought process, how we think, what occupies our time, what occupies our energy, what occupies our emotions. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for you'll see God." And I want us to understand that there are a couple of ways that that takes place, because we will see God in just a moment in a threefold way. Visually, those people to whom he spoke saw God, because he is God. But then we would understand through some of the other teaching, and in the area in which we live, there is the ability to see God through the eyes of faith. And then ultimately, the fact that we too will one day see him. So that's kind of a preview of the conclusion of this message about what it is to see God. But let's talk a little bit for just a moment or two about being pure in heart from Scripture. And there are three things that I want us to see from three different scriptures. First of all, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. These words kind of come to your mind as you see them up there. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So one of the elements of the pure in heart is the purifying effect that our hope in Jesus gives to us. That as we realize that right now, the scripture says, we are the children of God, and it doesn't appear what we shall be. We don't know that yet, but we do know by faith that when he comes, we shall be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. And John says, everyone who has this kind of hope purifies himself just as he is pure. So one of the purifying effects, the pure in heart, is our earnest expectation of meeting Jesus and seeing him one day. It might be a very simple analogy, but it is this idea of getting cleaned up and keeping oneself clean for a very important guest. One of the things, I'll just kind of make a confession, one of the benefits of having Wednesday night Bible study at our house is it's a great motivation to get the house clean because we're having company. Is that all right that I said that?
I'm not there missing it.
Okay. You get the point. Or if somebody important is coming, you also, if you've been working out in the yard and you got on your old ragged clothes and you're smelly, you want to get a shower and be cleaned up because something's coming. That's the analogy. John says, we're like him now. Does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he comes, we shall be like him. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So it is our hope in the coming of Christ that helps to purify us and make us pure in heart. The more that hope of his coming is alive and real to us, the greater will be our attempt to be pure in heart. It is as we lose sight of the fact of his coming, and it becomes just sort of an idea, not a reality, that we slip back into being very relaxed, very casual, and just caught up in the world. The second thing is not only the purifying effect, it is from James chapter 3, and here we talk about wisdom that demonstrates purity. In James chapter 3, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, unmixed. And once it's pure, unmixed, the wisdom that is purity that's demonstrated, or wisdom that demonstrates purity, is peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." I'm going to leave that on there for just a moment. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to ask you to look at it. If we're talking about the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we're identifying what it is to be pure in heart. Then James gives us an idea that the wisdom, the way by which we live with purity, demonstrates these things. We're peaceable. We're gentle. We're willing to say, "I don't have to have my way." David Wilkerson, in an article that in his devotional book, and this year's devotion was about the family and the importance of the family. And I always am impressed when someone of notoriety makes a humble statement. David Wilkerson talked about peace in the family. And he said, one of the keys is for me, the father, to give up my need to, quote, be always right. I need to give up my need to be always right. Purity of heart is demonstrated by the willingness to yield. I don't have to always be right. It's full of mercy. We've already talked. One of the blessings is, blessed are the merciful. We covered that 2 weeks ago. For they shall obtain mercy. Good fruits. Fruit of the Spirit. Just kindness. Good deeds. Doing something sincerely without partiality. Not just doing good for certain people because they suit your fancy. And doing those good deeds without hypocrisy, without doing it to be seen, without doing it for the wrong reason. Folks, this is a good checklist. And that's why I said I look at it. I'm not up here to beat you over the head with it. This is the scripture. This is the opportunity for each one of us to look at the word under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and say, do I need to grow in my purity of heart? Thirdly, we go to the next scripture that talks about not only the hope of his coming as a purifying effect or the demonstration of purity and wisdom, but how purity exemplifies itself. Also, James chapter 1. Another very practical, direct truth aimed at our heart. Does anyone among you seem to be religious and can't control his or her tongue, but deceives their own heart? This person's religion is vain. But pure religion and undefiled. By the way, undefiled. Notice how that fits in with purity. Unmixed. Just simple, straightforward, pure. Undefiled before God and the Father is this. You've heard this so many times. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So the demonstration of purity of heart is often in just acts of kindness, especially to the ones that are dearest and nearest to the heart of God, the least able to help themselves. That's very important. And we have a twofold application of what it is to be pure in heart. It's what we do and why we do it, but also what we don't do. The struggle to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. What does it mean to keep ourselves unspotted from the world? Folks, we have a great enemy in the Christian life. And it's a threefold enemy. And the Bible makes it clear. The devil, the flesh, and the world. We know that the devil operates in high heavenly principalities to create all kinds of havoc. And we know that we have a fleshly nature. That what does the Bible say about it and our spirit? They fight with each other. These two are at war with one another. They are at enmity with one another. They cannot get along with one another because they are diametrically opposed. And so it is true, and you should know this, that there is a war that goes on inside of each and every one of us who are Christians. It's that war between our spirit and our flesh. It's that war between doing what we know is right and good and what is not right and good, and the flesh tells us, oh, go ahead. But we also have a third enemy, not just the devil and the flesh, but the world, this culture. This world system that's under the influence of Satan and seeks to influence us everywhere we go. Folks, we talk about being in a cultural war. We've always been in a cultural war. Because this culture, the kingdom of this world, just as the flesh is opposed to the spirit, the kingdom of this world is opposed to the kingdom of Christ. They too are diametrically opposed. And that world in which we live, which is a world of vision and reality, whereas the kingdom to which we belong is a spiritual kingdom, makes it very difficult because we are sensual beings, affected by what we see, by what we taste, by what we can feel, and it's there all the time. So to keep oneself unspotted from the world is an ongoing task. And that fight is a fight that God allows to exist, but a fight that we'll have to fight until the day that we're called home. And even though, going back to our first John, even now we are the children of God because of his great love. One day we'll be free from this fight. One day we'll be like him. But in the meantime, that fight is constantly there. And the challenge is for the pure in heart to not give up the fight. Don't give in to the world and let it be victorious over your life. And don't be discouraged about the fight. It's a sign. If nothing else, the fight is a sign that your spirit's alive. Amen? Now, I said this is a quiet morning. You all seem to be, for the most part, soaking it in. Some of you are dozing just a little. And I'm going to look away from the ones who are dozing over there, okay? So that Michelle can nudge him. Folks, when you've been somewhere 32 years, you can get away with a lot. But your children never forgive you. That's some of the things about being pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For they shall see God. John 14:9 gives one of the answers of how Jesus was seen, or God was seen through Jesus. This comes, if you remember, Jesus had just given the great discourse, "Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to the Father, and where I'm going, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know the way." Well, shortly after that, in verse 9, it was Philip who said to him, "Lord, if all this is true, just show us the Father. Just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." And Jesus said unto him, that is, Philip, "Have I been so long time with you and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" How can you say that? And so Jesus was saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For those who were living in his era on earth and who believed him, they saw God. Some of them didn't even know it, but if you'll notice throughout the scripture and the gospel, from time to time, their confession was, "We believe that you are God. We believe you are the Son of God. We believe that you are God in the flesh." Blessed are the... So it took a simplicity and an unmixed heart to see that Jesus really was God. But what about those afterward? What about us? Well, in John chapter 11, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, but before he raises him from the dead, he goes, and you remember he delayed going. He delayed going because he said this death, this sickness is really for the glory of God. And he went, and Lazarus had already been dead 4 days in the tomb. Martha meets him, and Martha is disturbed about why Jesus didn't come sooner. And Jesus told her that if she would believe, she would see, and Lazarus would be resurrected. But there's a phrase in there that's so important in that whole discussion. Speaking to Martha, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" That if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. I've mentioned this before, but it won't hurt reiterating it. There is, again, as the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of Christ is separate and opposed to each other, there is a phrase that's in the world that says, "Seeing is believing." In the world of the kingdom of the Holy Spirit and of Christ, believing is seeing. Yeah, Jesus just emphasizes that you've got to believe in order to see. And the thing is that if we believe, we will see God. And that's the glorious thing. So we're seeing through the eyes of faith. Why is that important? Well, to the pure in heart, The benefit is that the pure in heart who will see God will be able to interpret life's events in light of the plan of God. They will be able to see the hand of God in things. Can I just ask a question? Will you think about this for just a second? We kind of alluded to it in a prayer this morning. Have any of you, you can raise your hand, or even if you want to briefly tell about it, it'll be all right. Have you ever had an experience where it made no sense, but as time went by, you said, I see the hand of God in this? Has anyone had that experience? I see the hand of God in this. While we were away on vacation, we were with our friends from Louisville, and Rich is retired from Southeast Christian Church on staff. Well, he was telling about one of those times when early in his life, he really wanted to be a preacher. And this little church in Indiana had called him and said, it's pretty much a done deal. We're asking you to come. The week before he was supposed to go, they said, well, the pastor who had resigned amid some conflict came back and said, I think I still want to be your pastor, but you got to vote on me today. And they voted him back in. And so Rich didn't get that preaching job. And he said, when they called and told me that, I was so set on it. I was so sure that that's what I wanted to do. He said, I couldn't even talk to my wife after I hung up the phone. And I went out in the garage, and he said, I sat down in the car, and I literally beat on the steering wheel crying out, why, God, why would you? He said, I didn't curse God, but I was so angry that I was almost at that point. So he goes back to work for years at Naval Ordnance until God opens the door for a much bigger ministry and a much more suited ministry in counseling, in marriage and family counseling, which was his gift. And he said to me, after looking back, I see the hand of God. He said, Terry, that's not my gift. It's not my, he said, I think I only have one sermon. What was I going to do the second Sunday? Sometimes we get things so focused that God, this has got to be your will. And when it doesn't happen, we're all to pieces. So Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For you and me today, through the eyes of faith, being able to interpret the events in our lives by the pure simplicity of trusting Him, will make sense of things that at the moment do not make sense. And then thirdly, not only are we interpreting life by seeing and accepting the hand of God, one day, this is our hope that was in 1 John. Let's go back to that 1 John passage, and that's verse 2 in that 1 John. This is a promise. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For what? We shall see Him as He is. So there's a blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. One day we're going to see Him, not through the eyes of faith, but face to face. 1 Corinthians 13 passage. I think it's, there we go, verse 12. Here we are now, seeing in a mirror dimly, but then how? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Why? Because there's a day coming when I'm going to see Him face to face. By the way, talking about so many of these great truths are interwoven, and you can't get away from this without realizing that this also has an application to seeing God today through the eyes of faith. How do we see now? In a mirror dimly, but then face to face. We don't see everything clearly now. And that's another great thing to help folks as they deal with the issues of life. Just admit, we see it dimly. There are mysteries that have to remain in the hand and the control of God. Finally, we close with a great, great scripture from the Old Testament, the book of Job. A man who had more problems and difficulties And there's a great song based on this verse. Job, in the midst of conflict and disappointment and everything else, says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. An affirmation from the Old Testament, even before, believed to be the oldest book in the Bible, the oldest treatise ever written. Job was convinced that one day there would be a resurrection, and that when this old body had decayed, there'd be a new body, and that in that body he would see God face to face. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's stand together. If there's anything we can pray with you about, if anyone needs to be anointed, if there's just anything God spoke into your heart that you want to sort of bring to the altar so we can pray with you or be there for you, just respond to him as we sing this great song of the light of shining Jesus.
The light of your love is shining in the midst of this darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations, and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine. Shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace. send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we thank each of you for just being here and allowing the Lord to speak to our hearts and minds on this very important subject about being pure in heart, challenge to all of us to deal with the pressures of living in a very antagonistic culture in which we find ourselves. May you be blessed and encouraged. Bow with me as we pray. Father, thank you that you're always there for us, that you give us what we need when we need it. And I thank you, Father, for the prayers that were lifted up today, for the prayers for wisdom and direction for our leadership as we make different decisions. May they always be guided by the wisdom that is described by James. May it always be with that wisdom that is pure and peaceable and not only yielding to one another, but first and foremost, Father, yielding to you. Thank you, Father, for prayers for healing. We pray that there would be physical healing for those who need that. We pray for relationships that are strained and even broken, that there would be healing. We pray safety and protection and peace and blessing upon your people, Father. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please greet one another with the love of Christ today. Amen.